everybody doing tonight? Thanks for coming out on a rainy Monday night in New York City.
It is so fucking disgusting outside.
Do you have a follow-up?
Nope, that's it. That's it, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for
See you next month.
Welcome. This is Two Beers and a Tipsy Political Roundtable. My name is Charlie Todd.
I'm Cody Lindquist.
We are a married couple who likes politics and likes drinking beer. And we have a great panel of comedians here tonight to join us.
Did anyone argue a lot with their racist uncle at Thanksgiving? Yes, one guy. That's it. Well, congratulations. Everyone else must be in a real symbiosis with their families, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, we were not near any conservatives.
We were in Texas.
We were in Texas.
Yeah.
But the house that we were having dinner at
Texas.
Had a Beto sign in front of it. So
my brother, keeping it real. I come from a real liberal family.
When do you take the Beto sign down?
I don't know,
when
but
you live
I
in San Antonio, Texas.
It. We got a picture of our four-year-old in front of it, and I was like, yeah.
I think I would just keep it up forever just to let people know I wasn't an asshole.
It is. It's sort of this thing where they'd be like, hey, you know, it wasn't me that voted for Ted Cruz. I am feeling this IPA, guys.
This is a show where we drink a couple of beers and talk about politics. We've been drinking in the bar. We're finishing up beer two or three, or we're starting to lose count. But we have a great panel. We're going to talk about the news of the week. This show is podcast, so search for Two Beers In on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, and subscribe for future episodes where you might not be here in person. I think we're going to take December off, but we'll be back here at UCB Theater East in January.
So let's
bring our panel out.
All right, let's do it.
Very excited to have these guys. You can watch their hilarious movie Undecided on Netflix, I believe. Hilarious political pranksters and comedians here at the UCB Theater. Give it up for DeVram Stiefler and Jason Selvig, also known as the Good Liars. The Good Liars.
And our next panelist is a writer for arguably the most hilarious and biting political satire of our time.
That Cody is also on.
Yeah, I'm on it. It's Our Cartoon President on Showtime. Check it out. This is Mike Leach. I mean, great election special. I do recommend everyone check out the show because it's not necessarily topical. We have some like topical beginnings, like cold opens, but you could go back and watch old episodes of Our Cartoon President.
And the midterm special is really funny. And
it's really funny.
It's not topical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about the midterms. I want to mention that we have a crate full of Bronx Brewery beer here, who sponsors all UCB Comedy podcasts.
Thank you, Bronx.
Thanks to them. Cody, let's talk about the news.
Let's talk about the news. Guys, I just really want to start it off light, just like super light.
Okay.
Climate change. A report came out that said that not only will the entire planet be devastated, but so will our economy, which is just super exciting. Right, everyone? Yay!
The world is dying.
So I guess what Trump is denying this. He's you know, a climate denier.
In addition to denying climate change, he's denying the results of this report that the White House released.
Yes, exactly. Big surprise. They released it on Black Friday. They tried to like sneak it under the rug. Do you guys think that climate deniers, specifically Trump, do you think they really believe that these things are lies, or do you think that they're obvious? Do you think that they're just following the money? Do you know what I mean? Like, at what point I get, like, wanting to, like, protect your own interest and, like, make as much money as you can, but at what point you're like, oh, we're all going to die?
Well, I think they're just sticking up for their friends. You know, a lot of their friends are these big oil executives and stuff. He plays golf with them. You know, he's not going to throw his buddy under the bus. Yeah.
But I would for my children.
It's just an inconvenient truth, you know?
Hey, that's a great
Thank
way
you.
To put it, DeVram.
Thank you.
Smart.
Someone should make a documentary about that.
Can you guys think of anything in the world where 98% of scientists think one way and you think another way? Like, is any like decided science that you're like not so sure on?
I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know, which is the only argument that they make.
I mean, I guess I know people personally who don't vaccinate their children. I think that's crazy and insane and dangerous. But I guess I have met people who disagree with scientists.
Unless I was conducting the science myself, I would have a hard time saying they're all wrong. And
you have to see it.
Yeah. I mean,
so what would you do in this situation?
Well, beakers and other right. science, you know,
like bubbling then, blue stuff.
Yeah.
That
and then I would be like, okay.
Steam on it, yeah.
Then I would say, well, you know, climate change is not real. But
okay.
Until I'm doing that, I got to go with 98% of scientists.
Well, I really, it's crazy to me because I feel like I understand greed is a thing. I get it. But at a certain point, aren't you just worried about your children being able to breathe? Like, how much money can you fucking have and then just be like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, I can be living on a pile of fucking gold. If my kid can't breathe,
or if
it
your
doesn't
pile
matter.
Of, or if your pile of gold gets swallowed by the ocean, too. Like, I mean, greed doesn't even explain it because Donald Trump and plenty of Republicans have beachfront property around the world. Like, it's not in their own interest.
That's true. Mar-a-Lago. Gosh, I didn't even think about that. What is he thinking?
Someone should just have a report that's like, breaking, Mar-a-Lago will be swallowed by the ocean.
Yeah, the climate report should just be renderings of Mar-a-Lago in 2060.
Yeah.
You know, that is really dumb, but it probably would work. Like, if that was the dumbed-down version of the slides that they show him, I bet he would be like, oh, wow. This actually is a serious thing. Look at this. My golf course will be underwater.
I mean, do people just not think about the future? Is that it?
I don't know. Or are they banking on, like, Elon Musk just figuring it all out and the rich people can buy into it and just not have to deal with this place?
That
in
is,
a while.
I mean, that's the newest talking point of the climate change denier or the Republicans is like, innovation is going to save us. And I hope innovation is going to save us because at this point it doesn't seem like anything else is going to. But, you know, maybe we should, like, also try to stop it on our own.
But the innovation is doing the same stupid thing we've been doing using coal for all of these years.
It's clean now, Jason.
I'm sorry.
So clean. It's the newest, cleanest thing.
Mike, we had a really devastating week of wildfires in California, a couple weeks. And climate change will most likely make these worse and more frequent. Do you think the response from Trump would have been different if this had happened in a red state?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's all he cares about, right? I mean, it's insane to me. I guess it makes sense that California is full of coastal elite Hollywood types who hate him. So, of course, he doesn't care.
The whole state, which is not in any way all coastal. But
Yeah.
Sort of.
No, I mean, it's hard to be surprised by anything he does now. But yeah, that was especially nuts. Just scolding Californians basically for
not raking or brushing their floors, like brushing their forest floor.
Yeah. It's something that no sane person would ever think to do, and he is castigating them for it. I have no idea what is going on in his head. The logical, the equations on the glass that he's writing in his brain, I have no idea.
Oh, that's so sweet that you think he would write equations. that he knows
very
an equation.
Generous.
Yeah.
So Mike, as a writer for Our Cartoon President, like, is it hard to parody him? Like, how do you guys try to tackle writing in his voice when his voice is just so insane to begin with?
It's tough because, you don't want to make him more intelligent than he actually is, but you also need like a coherent
you need sentences
character.
When you're typing in Final Draft, you have to like have a complete sentence.
Yes,
usually.
Yes. So I think we try to just zero in on his self-interest and just try to write from that. Every decision he makes, it's how is this going to benefit me?
But that's not parody. That's literally every decision he makes.
I love it. You'd have to look at what you wrote and be like, this is funny. It's funny. Yeah. Makes a little too much sense. Let's go back through it.
Or it just happens on the news. Like that would be the thing that would scare me the most is you write something and then you're like, oh, shit, he just did something worse.
Yes.
This is too tame now.
Oh, my God, yes, that does. And like while we were writing this last batch of episodes, he's started separating kids from their parents, like something we never in a million years would have imagined, and now we have to write jokes about it. Like, we have to somehow find a way to make that funny, and it's impossible to do, but we can't we also can't not address it if we're making a show about Trump.
It does feel like this is such a cliche to say, but we've all grown numb to how fucking insane he is. I mean, bringing it back to the wildfires, but just coming out and saying that, you know, in Denmark? Is that what he said?
Finland, sorry.
Yeah. I apologize to any of the the Nordic countries.
A lot of Danes
I'm lumping
the
them all together. I'm so sorry. But just the people in Finland were like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And doing all these parody videos, like, of them, like, brushing the floor. I mean, it was just, they're like, this guy's fucking crazy. And this was just a footnote. He was so mean to these people and who were losing their homes and losing their lives.
And isn't a lot of the land federally controlled and regulated? So on top of it
federal
all...
Federal government should be out there
raping. It's actually his government, his spending that's causing whatever non-raking to happen. I mean...
Well, it was the same thing with the report, too. That was his own report. And he was like, I don't believe it. He said that today.
Yeah, I guess the poor report's like with 3 years in the making, so it was started under Obama, but it's the heads of agencies, current, you know, heads of agencies that put the report out.
If he were smart, he'd deny the report.
Deny that it existed?
Yeah, there's no report. What report?
Yeah, you know, if you deny the report, you know, you can, its findings wouldn't exist.
DeBron, we're saying that, but guess what? That's probably what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to wake up on Tuesday,
he's like 70% of the way there.
Paper, I never saw it. It doesn't exist.
Didn't happen. It was Black Friday, though. You guys get any good deals?
But they did. They did ask him. He's like, "Did you read the report?" And he was like, "Oh, yeah, I read some of it." It's like, come on, dude.
He didn't read fucking shit. That guy hasn't read shit.
Saw it
it's
on
like
his desk.
Five paragraphs. He doesn't have time for that.
So the midterms are over. We our last show was before the midterms, so I guess we want to maybe talk about the midterms a little bit, and also we wanted to talk about the one election that's yet to happen, which is the Mississippi Senate runoff, which is tomorrow. So Cindy Hyde-Smith, did anybody, panel or crowd, know that this woman was already a senator, Cindy Hyde-Smith? Like, I did completely... I did not know who she was.
We have a political podcast, and it was like, as soon as this was in the news, I was like, who the hell is that?
So apparently Thad Cochran got sick and quit the Senate in April, and the governor appointed this woman, Cindy Hyde-Smith. And actually, she's the first woman to ever represent Mississippi in either chamber of commerce.
She is representing Mississippi.
She is definitely representing Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi, man. They had one African-American represent them in Reconstruction. They haven't had anyone since, and they've never had a woman.
Yeah, so all white men since, like, the 1860s or 70s.
Wow.
Whatever. But, yeah, so anyway, she made a comment about attending a public hanging, right? She made, like, a public hanging joke.
Hilarious. When your state is known for one thing, and that's lynching... You probably shouldn't make a joke about a public hanging.
And there's like a picture of her wearing a Confederate soldier hat as well. Anyway, do you guys think that we're all just going to be disappointed again and the race is going to win?
Yes.
Yes.
I wrote that question. It's not a question. Yes.
Well, that was a year ago, right? It was Alabama. And Doug Jones won. And, you know, I guess... maybe pedophile is a little worse than racist in the eyes of the...
He was a racist pedophile, to be clear.
That's true. That's called pros and cons in the South.
Well, he's a racist and he's a pedophile, but on the other hand, he's a racist and a pedophile, so those both seem good.
I don't know. So I haven't looked at one poll. I'm kind of embarrassed about this. But what do the polls say right now?
I haven't looked at the polls.
That she's going to win.
I think she's going to win. Oh, okay.
And it keeps becoming a media thing because people are like, she's going to win. What the fuck? Like, this should disqualify her.
Now, she didn't get in front of... The reason why they're having this runoff is that they have a jungle primary in Mississippi, also known as a Louisiana primary.
Which also seems like a racist term.
Yeah, that seems like a racial slur.
It does.
Like...
It's not, actually. It just means you have to get 50% or there's a runoff.
And there was someone who ran to the right of her.
To the right of her, really?
Yes. He was like a bigger racist, a bigger Trump racist.
But he wouldn't take off the hood, so they wouldn't let him.
And they picked her. She's the moderate. She stood in front of, she said that she was like at Jefferson Davis's house, and she said this represents the best of Mississippi history.
Are you getting choked up right now?
No, I burped. It's two beers in, guys. Beer is a lot.
So I guess what how does the panel feel about the midterms in general? So it seems like we're not going to hold on to hope to Mississippi to do the right thing tomorrow. But in general, blue wave, no blue wave, how does everybody feel? It seems like it was, you know, pretty good.
It was reassuring a little bit to be like, this is what was projected, and this is kind of what happened. I think if you looked at the races, the Senate was going to be hard to win the Senate no matter what. And like maybe Beto would win, and that would be amazing. But still, we're going to be short of a majority. In the House, it was like we'll go left, and that's what happened. So at the beginning of the night, it seemed a little scary. But then at the end, it was like, oh, okay, this is kind of exactly what was projected.
Which, yeah, is reassuring, and I didn't have
panic attacks. You guys are making me so excited about this.
No, I mean, it was...
It was reassuring.
I agree, it was an incredible
it's
feeling
like,
to be like...
Do you love your wife?
Okay.
Yeah, she's reassuring.
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
She makes me feel sort of good.
But also, ex-felons, or current felons, but out of prison... felons can vote in Florida, right?
That's good.
So maybe there is a brighter future. That was a big thing to come out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, although I'm so happy that happened. But also that doesn't translate into Democratic votes, by the way.
Why?
A lot of felons are actually Republicans. I think it like translates into like 10% more.
Yeah, a lot of felons
votes.
Worked for Trump, so.
Hey, he paid a lot of people to go to that first rally at Trump Tower when he announced his presidency.
Robert Mueller is creating a lot of felons, yeah. So got it.
Oh, jeez.
I was super bummed out by the midterms, I just want to say. Like,
really?
I,
why?
I'm so glad that Democrats now have the House. I think it was a blue wave, but it just wasn't devastating enough.
It wasn't a tsunami. It was a blue, tiny little wave.
Yeah, things are so bad that we really needed a big swing.
The right can argue that it wasn't a blue. That's the worst. That's the worst pill to swallow. It's not that if it was a monstrous blue wave, the right would feel any more of a mandate to do exactly what they wanted. They're going to feel a mandate no matter what, and they do right now. But I was like, Beto's going to destroy Ted Cruz. Like, history is going to go this way when it was going this. Like, this is going to be it. And I don't know.
I always think about...
bummed everyone out. I apologize.
Well, no. Listen, I'm bummed out frequently. And what I always think about is, like, Obama said, you know, like, Obama's who you look to for hope. But he always said, like, history is not a straight line. You know, you always, like, you go forward, and then it's like you go one step forward and two steps back. And so we are in the two steps back. We took one giant step back, and now we're, like, another step back, but we're, like, eking forward. And it's hard. But I also think it's the media narrative, too, that's frustrating, because the media set the Democrats up to fail. They were like, oh, they're going to win the Senate, and they're going to, you know, all this shit. And there's no way we were going to win the Senate. It was impossible. It really was almost impossible to win the Senate. And they set us up to win the Senate and the House. And even though we did great in the House, we lost in the Senate. And they were like, well, not a blue wave. It's like, well, fuck you, man. Like, we were never going to win the Senate. Like, at the end of 2016, it was like, they'll never win the Senate. It's the worst Senate map for them in, you know, 60 years or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so they set it up. They set us up to fail because they like a media narrative of, like, it wasn't a wave. It was, you know, I don't know.
So the good news, obviously, is all the new Congress people that we have, and there's a record number of women, and the diversity is great.
Woo, yeah,
and
woo for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm up here with a bunch of dudes.
Now, we did have a woman. Again. We did have a woman on the panel who canceled day of.
That's true, because women are flaky. Is that what you're saying, Charlie?
And we had a man cancel.
Is that what you're saying?
One of them would be sitting where I am.
We had two men cancel and a woman, so I think that proves that men are worse than women. Thank you.
So anyway, we have tons and tons of women. A record number of women were elected, almost all Democrat. But I want to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a little bit because she's, you know, already making waves during orientation and her Instagram and stuff. And the right, specifically Fox News and right-wing pundits, just seem to hate her so much. And why is that? Why do you think they've latched onto her? Just because she is the opposite of them?
I think they're trying to discredit her as early in the game as possible, because they see her as a possible presidential candidate. They see
she's not old enough to run for president.
Yeah. I know, she can't run for 6 years.
She can't run for 6 years. Yeah. I love it.
She will, if she runs in 6 years.
At that point, she'll be like Nancy Pelosi. They'll be like, she's an old woman. We need new blood. Fuck this person. She's been around. She's a dinosaur. Anyway, go on, Mike.
No, she's the first Democrat to inspire. Her and Beto are the only two this time around to inspire anyone. And so
maybe Stacey Abrams a little bit. I mean, she didn't win.
Definitely a lot, Stacey Abrams. Yeah, she was inspirational for sure.
Yeah.
She inspired Oprah.
Sure. Guys, that's fucking hard. If I inspired Oprah, I would just take out a gun and kill myself because I had reached the pinnacle of my life.
Oprah does the inspiring.
And that's what I'm saying. If you inspire Oprah, then just goodbye. You've done everything there is to do on the earth. I think there's something to do with, I don't know how to describe it. She's a woman and also a woman of color. And young, something like that. There's something like in there, in those three things that bother old.
The opposite of old white
man.
Yeah.
Old white man Republican.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's something to do with the fact that she's a woman of childbearing years, and that's hard for them to comprehend.
But I did see a picture of her wearing a coat that looked like it was not from a thrift store. So maybe she's a hypocrite.
She can't afford to move to Washington.
Just wait till I run. They will be like, oh, yeah, that's from Old Navy. Yep.
Was that an
announcement? She belongs there. Yep.
Are you running?
I'm running. And you get a car. And you get a car. As an Oprah reference.
Oh, right. Oprah.
But your first campaign promise.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's tough.
I'm a liar, by the way. I'm not giving anyone a car.
So Pelosi came up. I wanted to talk about Pelosi because. You know, it seems like there are people on the far left who are skeptical of her, and there's also these people in the middle. What are they called? Like the Promise Coalition or something? It's for like the No Labels group.
Promise Keepers.
It's not the Promise Keepers.
I'm pretty sure it's Promise Keepers.
Isn't that, those are the people that say they're going to be virgins until they're married?
Is Promise Keepers don't.
No, that's a cult.
Same group of people. Turns out to be the same group of people.
There's some like the new whatever the new Blue Dog Democrat thing is, like conservative Democrats in the middle who said that they're not going to support Pelosi unless she signs on to all these like bipartisan rules for the new Congress of like, you know, Republicans get to have bills up for a vote whether she wants it or not. But anyway, I'm curious how everybody feels about Pelosi. I like the fact that she had mentioned that she's maybe wants to do it for 2 years and then step aside. I like the fact that she's really fucking great at the job and gets things done. And I think a lot of the attacks on her are probably misogynistic. But I know there's a lot of women on the far left who are skeptical of her, so it's not just that. How does the panel feel about Pelosi as speaker?
Yeah, man, chime in on this woman, and I'll tell you if you're right.
I think she's great, brave, and great. No, I don't think that. I think that a problem people have with Pelosi and kind of the old guard of Democrats, you know, including Chuck Schumer, is that they are beholden to a lot of special interest money, and that is something that is gets ingrained in you, and it's kind of like you need to rip the Band-Aid off and be like, all right, let's start anew. So I do understand why people want to like have a brand new look at things from the Democratic side. But I also understand that you got to get things done. And she is really great at getting things done. She's been there forever. And she has been passing bills and reaching across the aisle and actually passing legislation. So I don't know. I guess is my answer. I don't know. I would say...
What do you think, Mike?
I mean, Mike, she's portrayed on the show quite a bit on our cartoon president. She and Schumer both are sort of portrayed as out of touch, and I think they do come across as out of touch sometimes. And I think the most telling
thing—I think
the most telling thing about the the misogyny against Nancy is just that nobody's calling for Schumer's head as minority leader in the Senate or whatever it's called. Yeah. Because Schumer's my senator in New York, and I've voted for him plenty of times, but that guy's got to go. Yeah. I'll keep voting
especially
for him unless he gets primaried by
power.
A good person. But
like, if they could have put up anything to change, it should have been that. Because the Senate, the minority leader in the Senate can't do shit, right? They're not in charge.
But he can do shit, like taking a recess before the election and approving a bunch of judges for Trump. Like he's
sure.
done some shitty things.
He has, but I'm saying, like, if you want to do something symbolic, like, throw the Senate up. Like, we're not in charge in the Senate right now, so just, although I guess the Senate is more entrenched, like, who is the young blood in the Senate, right? Yeah. Cindy Hyde-Smith?
it was Al Franken.
I don't know. Schumer, he also congratulated Trump for moving the Jerusalem, like the embassy to Jerusalem in Israel. Like, he didn't have to do that. Why? What is he thinking? Like, that's the if you're reading the tea leaves on the left, like, that's not what you do these days. And I don't know. I think him and Pelosi, they're both. Great politicians, effective, Pelosi especially. But it would be nice to get some new blood in there that really believes what the new emboldened left believes instead of just follows their lead.
Yeah, this is what I think about Nancy Pelosi. I think she's fucking good at her job. I think the right wants her gone because they want us in chaos and divisive. So they want her gone. So they are the ones that are really leading the charge against her. And people on the left are also adding to that problem. It's like, listen, I love that we have a diverse coalition. I love that we have young, fresh blood. But we need a fucking ball buster to keep us together. And we need, unfortunately, the way things are now, we need money. And she's an amazing fundraiser. And she won.
Where's the money coming from?
Exactly. Climate change deniers. No, I know. I know. It's bad. But what I would like to see is for her to keep it together for the next 2 years and then pass off the torch. I'd like her to say, listen, I am going to train somebody. I'm going to take somebody young. I'm going to teach them how to do this. And they're going to take over. And before they can't, so they can't run against me in 2020. Because that's the other thing. Like, they love to run against her. So, but I also want her there to get shit done. There's a lot of shit to get done. We don't have much time.
So you're talking like sort of like a Karate Kid reboot.
Exactly.
Sort of deal.
She's okay. Mr. Miyagi.
Okay.
And Ralph Macchio, who, by the way, is on The Deuce. Guys, okay, first of all, I'm going to take a sidebar. The Deuce is
show.
A great show on
good
HBO.
Show.
I highly recommend. It's very good. It's about 42nd Street and like the Hell's Kitchen area, which is where we live.
And where the new UCB Theater is, right?
Yeah,
the
yes, it's great.
Nice plug.
It's literally on the Deuce. Anyway, there was this guy who was like in it. He's in it a lot. And I was like, Charlie, he looks so much like Ralph Macchio. And then I Googled it. I was like, it's him. Anyway.
Oh, the Deuce, 42nd Street.
Yeah.
I get it.
The 40, the Deuce. Yep.
Yeah. Because it's
guys,
two.
Guys, just watch the show.
Coming together. So Ralph Macchio and Nancy Pelosi are the same person.
They are. And Ralph Macchio looks good, guys.
Okay.
Hopefully he'll be on the show next month. I'm going to work on it.
Well, for the record, I agree with that. Keep things together. Keep, quit challenging Pelosi, at least in the near future, and just let things get done for a bit. The progressive agenda will take hold in a bigger way, but I just would be so scared of that much instability.
Yes.
Now.
Also, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has made a great point. She's like, listen, guys, the only people that are discussing running against Pelosi at this point are to the right of Pelosi. Like, there's not anyone to the left of her.
And they're really old, too. It's not like there's
yes.
a 30-year-old.
She's
yes.
too young. Get her
it's
out of here.
It's not like she's... Yeah, exactly. It's just that the people that, again, this is coming from the right. It's like, it's coming from inside the house. Like, whatever. Like, get out.
It is, the house.
Thank
get
you.
It?
Thank
it's
you.
The House of Representatives.
But it's the right. There are people flanking her on the right that want her to move forward so that we're not pushing progressive legislation forward. And I also feel like Nancy is a political opportunist in that if the party is dictating her to move forward and to the left, she will, I think. So anyway, women rock.
Wanted to talk about some local news. Today is Cyber Monday, and I'm sure I spent some time at Amazon. I made 2 Amazon purchases.
What'd you buy? You didn't tell me.
Oh, maybe I can't tell you. It was a present.
Oh, my God. You bought me a present on Amazon. Yes.
No, I bought a present for one of our children and 1 present for myself.
Why don't you tell me about that?
But I'm curious
Your birthday is coming up, too.
I'm curious how the panel feels about Amazon coming to our city and their upcoming takeover of Long Island City in Queens. Our local leaders, our Governor Cuomo and our Mayor de Blasio and lots of other leaders worked really hard to get Amazon to come. But people aren't universally happy about their arrival. I think there was a protest planned today in Long Island City against them. So
I don't leave Manhattan.
Is it tone deaf to be offering, $1.5 billion incentive to the world's richest man? Or should we be thankful for the jobs? What do you guys think?
I want Cuomo to... He looks like Vince McMahon a little bit from the WWE. And I want him to pull a heel turn on Jeff Bezos. And once they, start breaking ground, he's going to be like, screw you, Bezos! You don't get the tax breaks.
Oh, can we just take him away after they started building the buildings?
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
That's a great
elect
idea.
Me,
that's
governor.
A Trump move. I say yes. Let's do it. Trump's like, nah, I'm not paying you. It's fine.
And why can't you do that? Just take him away afterwards. Yeah, we have the jobs here, and now you don't get the tax breaks. We lied. We lied to you. That's a New York. That's a New York minute. We take him away from you. That's literally what I think we should
do. I feel like the heel turn thing is totally good, valid, and would be great.
You don't watch wrestling. You're making
fun
of me.
I assume that means it's like a wrestling move where you change your mind, I guess.
No, it's
which sounds when you riveting.
Turning from
riveting.
Good to evil. Thank right. you.
A face is a baby face. It's a good guy. Heel is a bad guy.
Yeah.
In soap opera talk, we would say your evil twin comes out.
We should all
out.
Be watching more wrestling.
I'm not sure that Cuomo is currently a face, though.
Okay, that's true. That's true. That's
well,
tweener as the industry term.
Wow, this is going to devolve real quick into Charlie and Jason talking about WWE.
A lot of smarks out in the audience.
Yeah, there are a lot of smarks out there.
And Pat running our tech will also probably chime in at some
chime
point.
Chime in whenever you'd like, man.
Yeah, and speaking of smarks, that's the word. They're all like above $100,000 a year jobs. I don't think it's going to help housing prices. I think, by the way that you phrased your question, giving that big of a tax break to the world's richest man is fucking crazy. Isn't going to help our city. Isn't going to make it more accessible to any of, most of the people out there. And yeah, I think that he should just do a heel turn.
Mike, you live in Queens. It might actually raise your rent / property value, right? Like,
is that right?
Well, I've heard a lot of arguments. Well, you know,
is that true?
You're like, wait a minute. But we have to house these people somewhere. Yeah.
They're not all going to live in Long Island City.
No, and but they're probably if they're working in Long Island City, it's probably going to make Queens and Forest Hills or
Astoria
or.
Woodside,
might make those property value like rent more expensive in those places. It's going to displace a lot of people.
Yes, true. It's always New York is always changing anyway. Like I my big thing with this Amazon thing is like New York is doing fine. Like there are a lot of other communities in the country that aren't doing fine that would really benefit from this company. And so why are we putting it right in the middle of Long Island City, which is like one of the richest neighborhoods in New York right now? It just feels...
It was a fuck you to a lot of smaller cities.
Yeah.
There was a place
which
in
would be
Georgia.
Fine if they wanted to do that, but it just felt like they were like, oh, gonna pretend like they're giving it to... fucking Cleveland. And then they were like, no, sorry. Yeah. We're gonna go to obviously the most... accessible place we can think of.
D.C. and New York.
Which is kind of
funny.
Bullshit.
I mean, that's kind of funny, though, right?
It's a heel turn.
It's a heel turn is what I'm saying.
You're right, you're right. They made all these people do all these videos of, like, kids tap dancing and, like, the fucking building.
Yeah, but now we have the videos of the kids tap dancing.
And he's like, go fuck yourself. No, obviously, I was going to do it.
One place was like, we'll change the name of our town from whatever the fuck it was to Amazon, Georgia.
Yeah.
And they were like, fuck you. We're going to New York.
To be fair, it was Amazon, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Forgive me.
Good point. Good point.
I wanted to talk about The Good Liars for a little bit. We have Jason and DeVram here from The Good Liars. So you guys have done these amazing political pranks and hoaxes, and you guys did a ton of stuff on the campaign trail in 2016. But I want to hear a little bit about your recent run-in with Brian Kilmeade, host of Fox and Friends, who's actually a regular on Our Cartoon President.
Sure.
Very funny character. But so you guys ran into Brian Kilmeade and had a camera.
Everyone has a camera in their pocket, Charlie.
True, true. You ran into Brian Kilmeade and you filmed the encounter.
Have you seen an iPhone before?
Yeah, it was a weird thing. DeVram and I have been doing comedy together for a long time, and we didn't say anything to each other, but I recognized him, or DeVram recognized him, and I was like, let me get a selfie. And then I turned around, and DeVram was already filming, and I was like, oh, yeah, let's do this. And I started recording sound on my phone, and then we...
Oh, that's a nice technique.
Yeah.
So you use both phones.
Oh,
One for sound, one for video.
That's right.
Did you do a slate right before you started pranking Brian Kilmeade?
No slate. The slate was started clapping. Shoving me on the street.
I was holding my dog in a bag, but my dog was in like a dog bag around my...
Well, you had your dog during this whole thing?
Yeah, just to give you an idea of how not expecting to run into Brian Kilmeade we were. And then, I just started filming, and Jason, like, did a selfie, and then I was like, all right, are we going to just keep following this guy? Yeah, I guess so.
So that's how it started. You walk up to Brian Kilmeade on 6th Avenue, and you say, Brian, can I get a selfie?
Yes, yes. And then start talking to him. We've had some run-ins with some other personalities from Fox News. Jesse Waters.
You guys have been in Waters World.
Waters World. Yeah, we put Jesse Waters on Waters World one time by harassing him on the street. And we followed him to the train where we asked the subway car full of New Yorkers what they wanted to say to Donald Trump because Brian Kilmeade could tell him on Fox and Friends the next morning. And everyone started screaming out things at him. And Brian wasn't cool about it. He didn't like it. He didn't like it.
Yeah, and I mean, the video, it seems like he's just trying to ignore you guys.
He's trying. He was acting like he was on the phone. But we looked at the video and we're like, oh, it says call failed. He was never talking to anybody. He was, and at one point, he just tried and shoved me into oncoming traffic. So.
And then at the end, he went to Jamba Juice. And Jason offered him a fresh smoothie in exchange for asking Donald Trump to resign the next morning. And he didn't do it.
He didn't change a razzmatazz for
it was like a peach pomegranate smoothie.
Right.
And he didn't take it.
Yeah.
And to whatever. I don't know. Fox News, they're weird guys.
It is interesting. I think it must be weird to work at Fox. Like, you're literally in the center of the city. You're in between Bryant Park and Times Square. Arguably the most liberal part of the world, and or the country anyway, and you're just getting on the subway and saying this shit, and then you think you can just live your life and get on the subway and be anonymous.
Yeah, that was our outlook, was like, if you're going to be a public figure and you're going to work in a city like this, be willing to take some public criticism a little bit. Anyway, the reason I think we're a little defensive about it is because it really blew up in our faces. there was a sizable backlash for what we felt was a pretty benign,
tame,
kind of funny-ish.
You didn't touch him,
afternoon.
Right? You just sort of followed him.
No, he touched me.
He touched
but
you.
Yeah.
You didn't like go to his house and like break into his bathroom and.
No,
we did, but it's not on camera.
We didn't film that stuff.
Nobody knows about that, so.
But I do. I wonder where is the line, right, between like Mitch McConnell, Sarah Huckabee Sanders complain that they can't go out to dinner, right, because someone. What is the line, right? Like, when are you allowed to just be like, hey, you say these things that are anti-women and children, that are anti-immigrant, that are racist, like, maybe you shouldn't be able to go out to eat. Maybe you shouldn't be able to ride the subway.
Or just deal with it every once in a while when you can. Like, it's like, if 9 out of 10 times you go out to dinner and nobody does anything, that's a victory.
But the kitchen
if you're insulting
is doing
people on a regular basis.
Funnier.
But shouldn't you be able to? Shouldn't you have to answer to what you do? Like, why do you get to leave it? Why do you get to leave it at work?
Right. And I think that he looks at it like I'm just an entertainer, not like I'm actually doing something that's harming the country.
But you are when you are to the point where the president looks to you. I mean, and that's the truth on Fox and Friends. He looks to them for policy.
I know.
Then you can't just sit back and just be like, nope.
Yeah.
I get to ride the train alone. No, hey, if you say this shit, if you're putting this propaganda out there, you should have to answer to it.
Yeah, and he seems like, you know, his response to it was like, oh, here's the left mob doing something that's...
The two of you are a mob now?
Yeah, we're
you guys
the
were
mob.
Mobs,
here's
not
the mobs.
Jobs.
And then more recently, he said these guys followed me with a couple of cameras, inciting violence. It was like... There was a phone and a dog, and it was
and I've seen your dog, and that dog's super fucking cute and not in no way menacing.
Oh, well, she won't
what
really
she,
want
she's
to bite
you
him.
She's a little tiny mix.
Her back. She's like a 12-pound dog.
If your dog can fit into a bag, it is not a menace.
Right. Exactly.
I love Basil.
And it was just like fit into this really weird narrative that we became a part of like the left can't discuss anything. And anyway, the backlash was pretty wild, and we got a lot of people who said we were inciting violence and decided to try and incite their own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They tried. Yeah, there was a lot of death threats and stuff like that.
This is just like
crazy.
Death threats on Twitter? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah,
not leaving that much up to the imagination either. It was like how we were going to be killed.
I'm going to do this to you on this street and watch that leak from your body. That is blood leak from your from your
but
body.
Guys, why do you think this happened for this particular video and not other ones you've done? Because you've done a lot of like.
Well, it was the narrative. I think it was the narrative of the time where it was like it really was like the left has this mob mentality that is they just want to. Take over everything by any means necessary. It was a couple weeks before the midterms, and it was something they were seizing onto, and that's what gave it like the big push on the for the right wing media to be like, oh, here's something we can use.
So there's right wing blogs and websites that are sharing your video.
Oh, that
almost
I didn't even
solely.
Know existed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So outside of your own Twitter feeds, this went viral on the right.
Yes,
I don't
yes,
even know
yes.
my Twitter handle. So it was just
but
like...
But they found it.
Yeah, they
found
did.
It. They
I saw
did.
It on Jason's Twitter, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I just retweet the stuff he says, and I say, this is a great tweet.
All he does is troll me on Twitter. Like, what were you thinking? It's like a tweet from 2016. It was like, making fun of me. We had fun.
But yeah, it was like a cascade of like conservative sites, and as it would get posted, the backlash would get crazier and crazier, and... Yeah, ultimately, like, he put out a statement that was taking the high road, which was super frustrating, which was like, I didn't feel threatened, but if I had, I would have known what to do. And I was kind of like...
What does that mean?
He was like, but I could beat him up. Like, I think I could.
So wait, how tall is he?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying...
He's
I don't
about
know.
Your
My
height.
Point
I actually
is,
think
he was definitely
fight.
Saying I could have physically bested these gentlemen...
Oh,
and
come
I was
on.
Like,
he said
well,
Jamba.
Well, I was like, but we weren't, that wasn't the whole thing. That wasn't what was going on. And to make it feel like that was so frustrating.
And I go back and forth about this. Like I said, it's just frustrating because it's like, if you want to be like espousing these racist and crazy beliefs, you should have to answer to them. And right. You should be prepared
but half,
to answer to them.
Half the country doesn't think they're racist beliefs. And so like the whatever justified however justified you feel in your views, half the country is like, you know what, I feel completely justified in my views.
Yeah,
and
but I will stand up and talk about my views. If someone sees me on the street and says I saw you in that show and you know what do you have to say for the fact that you said that you know we shouldn't gas children on the border, I'd be more than happy to talk about why.
That was controversial when you said that we shouldn't tear gas children.
Thank you. But no, but I'm happy to stand up for that. I'm happy to talk about that. So I don't understand why it is one thing to go, if you're going up in public and talking to somebody outside of them being in their TV show, they're not allowed or supposed to be able to talk about it.
But he doesn't think he's wrong, I guess is my point. Brian Kilmeade is not like, I'm pulling the wool over somebody's eyes right now. Brian Kilmeade thinks that he's justified in what he's doing. And so do the people on the right who are saying all sorts of crazy stuff on the internet. Like, everyone believes that they're right, which is why we're at this crazy point.
So why couldn't he have turned to you and said, like, I'll stand up for what I said on TV? What are your questions?
I don't blame him for not doing it. I don't blame him for not. Somebody comes up to you and starts messing with you on the street.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
be like, let's discuss this. Like, I don't know.
I would have. Because I believe what I say. That's my problem. I don't think half these people believe what they say.
It's crazy being a famous person or politician in the real world. For this morning, Cody texted me a photo that a friend of ours took in a yes, coffee shop.
Block from our apartment.
In our neighborhood on 10th Avenue, Bernie Sanders was having coffee this morning. I think he's doing a live show at Town Hall tonight.
And this is like 8 a.m., by the way. Yeah. We have kids, so we get texts early.
So like 8 a.m., Cody gets a text from her friend saying like, oh my God, I'm at this coffee shop, and Bernie Sanders is here. There's she takes a photo of Bernie and sends it to Cody and sends it to me. And then I send it to my friend, who I know lives very close to that coffee shop, and he looks out his bedroom window and can see Bernie from his bedroom window.
And he zooms in.
And like zooms in and does an Instagram story. And like Bernie has no idea. By the way, he did tip, because that's in my friend's video. he goes up and puts a tip in at the end. But like, it just made me think, like, wow, to be Bernie famous or Brian Kilmeade famous, like, just whether you know it or not, whether there's a couple of jerks who come up to you and follow you on the subway,
or
not.
Who are you calling jerks?
A couple of hilarious political activists who follow you on the subway, or just the fact that even when you don't know that you're being watched and documented, like that, like we had eyes on Bernie from two different camera angles this morning.
I sent that to my friend too. She sent me the picture and I sent her back a video, and she was like, I was like, you're on the second floor. I can zoom in and see you too.
But I just love texting my friend. I was like, look out your window, Bernie is there. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was just confused Jim, the old man.
But Bernie would be more than happy to respond to anybody that said anything to him about his beliefs. Because he believes them, you know? He's willing to stand by them.
I could see the argument on the right that there's, like, this unruly mob on the left, and they're following us around and accosting us, and, like, where's civility gone? Like, I can see that totally, but on the other hand, it's, like, really funny that Ted Cruz can't go to, like, Ruth's Chris without someone like screaming in his face the whole time. I love that. So I'm
he can't
really
go
torn.
To Costco to get his cans of soup anymore without people just being like, Cruz.
Yeah, maybe that's a dark corner of my heart that loves that, but I love it, and I can't.
Does it happen to Democrats? Like, does Chuck Schumer have a hard time eating at restaurants?
No, like, he's in New York. Who's gonna yell at Chuck Schumer?
But he's not always in New York, right?
Well, that was actually a subplot of Cartoon President.
Oh, yeah. Del Post.
Were you not watching?
I've never seen the show.
Your wife is
no,
the star.
I've seen them all. I've seen them all. So I wanted to talk about policy a little bit. It sounds like we might actually get a criminal justice reform bill passed, maybe, if Mitch McConnell has the guts to put it up for a vote, because it seems like it would pass if he does. So fucked up that we have to, like, go through McConnell for everything. Cody also plays Mitch McConnell on Cartoon President. She has amazing voiceover work.
Well, now that we have you here, are you going to put it up for a vote or what?
Mitch McConnell has walked into the room.
Racist bullshit, turtle.
Feels like good news. Feels like great news.
So I don't know all the details of this bill, but it's basically lessening things like mandatory minimums for drug crimes and forgiving people who are in prison for drug crimes. And in general, it seems like it's, you know, Cory Booker supports it. A lot of Democrats are supporting it, and strangely, a lot of Republicans are supporting it, which is what I wanted to talk about. So, like, Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul have both been on the Sunday shows saying that, you know, they're super for it. Donald Trump reaffirmed his support of this bill this weekend. So it's like everybody but McConnell. But I guess I'm like, how is this the issue that both sides are agreeing on? Like, why are these people that I don't agree with on anything coming around on this? Is it because like Jared's dad went to jail and we're all like he's made people sympathetic to jail? Like what is it?
Because Trump knows everyone's going to jail that he works with. So he's like, criminal justice reform, let's do it.
Colluding with a foreign government? That's like 6 months. I mean, it's long overdue, right? I mean,
is it because Sessions is gone? Is that part of it? That he's such an asshole, and now that he's gone, we can have weed and like get people out of jail who like sold weed in 1985?
I think Jeff Sessions had little to no sway in anything. That was going on. Would you wear like he's such an asshole, but then at the end you kind of feel bad for him because he's just you know Trump is just shitting on him in every move. But I think it's that it's like something that I think like 70% of Americans are for it. So it makes sense across.
But 46% of Americans like Donald Trump. I'm just amazed that there's a consensus. Like you brought up DeVram, you brought up the felons being able to vote in Florida, like. You know, Florida reelected their Republican senator, they elected a new Republican senator, their old governor, and then, you know, Republican won the governor's race, but the felony thing passed.
But Charlie, it's very similar, like to the opioid crisis in a lot of ways. That like everybody knows someone every family has been affected by the opioid crisis.
Oh, because white people are going to jail now.
Yep.
For white people
and
drugs.
And also, every family has some connection to felony convictions. Like, it really has touched every family. And when that's the point, when they're like, oh, wait, actually, also, our base is going to jail, too, then people are behind it. I mean, it's also, but it is nice. It is, like, a rare thing where it's like everybody comes together and says, wait, this is bullshit. Like, let's all... you know, try to fix this, but it's because white people are going to jail too. I mean,
yeah, no, that makes sense.
Not white people.
No.
Oh, I don't know. I
white people.
White people are going to jail for it. Okay. Well, no, that was what?
What? What? I don't know.
Well, I feel like everyone was being shocked that white people were going to jail for it, and I was being shocked along with everyone. that was going to be my reaction as well. I just feel like without being completely thoroughly educated on the subject, like that, I feel like that has to, the way that the world is smaller and smaller and more connected, at some point it has to be that we know people affected by this. We don't feel like these long sentences are justified. And money, probably, it's the most expensive thing to incarcerate people. And at some point, I think that has to add up too.
Except that they're making money.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, though, right? It's the private prisons.
But those are, I guess those are. I feel like when you look at the amount of money it takes to keep someone in prison for a year,
the government's spending money,
right?
Yeah, unless you're being lobbied by the private prison industry. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we should spend that on pre-K. If we spend on a pre-K, you probably wouldn't have to spend as much on. Jails.
Well, let's all hope that Mitch McConnell lets us vote on it.
Well, Mitch, what's the deal? Are you gonna vote on it?
It's such bullshit. Like you should.
Wait.
He's trying to set you up.
Your voice changed completely,
Mitch. Your famous
Mitch.
Impression.
It's
over. It's over.
Turtle.
It's a visual medium, so it's hard to tell. But Mitch McConnell just did a spot-on Cody Lindquist impression.
He's really good. Yeah, he gets my Ohio accent really well. Yeah, no, it's so cynical and so annoying, but it's like, why are people okay with gay marriage now? It's because everybody knows a fucking gay person, right? So the more you know people that are, like, the more you experience life and people that have different views and different experiences, the more accepting you are. And so the fact that we're being touched by people that are in, like, going to prison at higher rates.
It's also probably just more people have done or smoked weed or, you know, like marijuana is more commonplace now that we can look back and say maybe you shouldn't be in jail for.
Have you guys smoked weed?
Yeah, we've been trying to smoke it.
Yeah.
I mean, have I? I don't think I've ever smoked weed.
Is that true? Yes. That's crazy. Really? Oh.
Maybe
once. You guys have been trying for a while? And
well,
you
she's vaped weed. Are you not counting vaping weed?
When did I do that? One time?
Yes, you've vaped weed before.
Just once, though.
Is this real?
Cody's not very experienced with marijuana, and I am just a little bit better than her. So,
No, I meant smoking. Yes, I've smoked through a thing, but very few times.
And she
I never inhaled.
That's why she's in favor of these long sentences.
Yeah, that's
she has
right.
no personal experience.
No, I'm very
inexperienced. Dope heads, all of them.
I'm very inexperienced with the marijuana, and that's the only drug I've ever done, guys. It's real bad. I mean, great.
Oh, that's
I just
fine.
Like to drink. I have a drinking podcast. It's my own thing. Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on and talk about Facebook just a little bit. There was an opinion piece in the New York Times today asking if we all have a moral imperative to leave Facebook, given its track record of disrupting elections and spreading hate. I've had a few friends, close friends, leave Facebook recently, put up that post saying, like, hey, if you want to reach me, here's my email address, I'm out. And I've certainly been tempted. I manage a Facebook page for my website, for my comedy group, so I feel like that's going to keep me there maybe forever, even though Facebook has systematically fucked over my comedy group's page by not letting me reach any of my fans, as they've done to everyone, and destroyed publishing on the entire internet. But I'm curious if, is everybody in the panel on Facebook? Everybody got a Facebook account?
Yeah.
And are you considering leaving? Now that they're straight up admitting that they like hired a conservative like PR firm to
say it was George Soros.
Yeah. Do we have a moral imperative to leave Facebook?
No. I mean, I left it once for like 4 years, and it was bliss.
Wow, 4 years.
It was beautiful.
When were those years?
2008 to 12.
Wait, that was the height of Facebook.
Yeah.
You
got
said
out.
Nay, sir.
You missed out, dude. It was awesome.
I had a lot of FOMO.
I had a whole page that whole time.
What caused you to leave in 2008? Just the whole Obama thing. You were like, I don't like the way the country's going.
Yeah. Just very dark.
I joined back in 2016. I was like, this is my time.
No, I don't know. It started to feel like homework to me. Like, I would come home at the end of the night, and I would have, like, comments that I felt obligated to reply to. If I wanted to keep in touch with people, I would text them, like.
But wait, you went in, so did you go into a high school reunion and, like, not know anything about your classmates?
Yeah, I was pretty in the dark for a while. But, again, it was...
But you came back in 2012. You needed to like Mitt Romney on Facebook. You had to get back on. No, but what did bring you back?
Well, I mean, I'm from Minnesota originally, so I had all these people in Minnesota that I was starting to lose contact with. And Facebook is... That's why I probably won't cancel it now. It's such a simple, like, no effort way to keep in touch with everyone that you care about, and I don't know, until something else fills that void, like, they can, you know, assassinate as many premieres as they want. I'm probably not going to cancel it, unfortunately. You know?
Well, what about you guys? The Good Liars have a page on Facebook? I mean, you upload videos to Facebook?
I don't know. I do feel like there is... It's weird. Facebook is so weird. I feel like I know people from high school, sort of, that I haven't talked to in 15 years, and people that from even elementary school in Louisville that I'll see and be like, oh, they're doing that now. I knew that. That makes sense for them. And I don't... In a weird way, I really don't like it. And then on top of all the stuff that came out 2 weeks ago, it feels like now's the right time, but I probably won't. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave, probably.
Are people outside of cities like ours discussing if they have a moral imperative to leave Facebook? Like, I get the sense that, like, we might be the only people worried about that. And I don't know. We probably all should, but I just don't think other people care. And it's such a, like, New York... thing to be.
It's like, you mean the website we go on and like press like
website,
on and I get the little red dot? I love that.
Yeah, and it's like, it's probably a fun way.
I want to talk about the red dots on Facebook.
What?
Like, they've
What's
turned,
that?
They just the notifications in general, your notifications on Facebook. Like, they recently turned that up on me really hardcore because I use Facebook. I'm there maybe 5 minutes a day.
You go every day?
I do go every day.
Charlie, I'm learning so much about you.
Secrets.
Well, I have to go because, again, I manage a page for a comedy group and I have to, like...
But you didn't, like, wish me happy birthday, though.
Oh, that's right. I noticed that. Yeah. I wish you happy birthday.
And then what'd you get for Cyber Monday also? Was it...
If I wish somebody happy birthday on Facebook, it's because we're an acquaintance who I wouldn't text, but I feel...
I would be so... Actually, I would think it was so fucking weird if you wished me happy birthday on Facebook.
Smiley face.
I'd be like, get off the fucking computer and spend time with me, asshole. Like, why are you on Facebook wishing me happy birthday?
But I had a weird experience on Facebook when I left it. I did leave it.
You did leave.
But not really. I went...
You just stopped going. You didn't deactivate.
I went to Ecuador is what happened. I went to Ecuador for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And I didn't have any internet. Nothing. I didn't check my email, text, anything. I get back.
Total detox.
Total detox. I get back. I had, no joke, 100 messages from Facebook that's in my email being like, hey, did you see what DeVrom posted? DeVrom liked this. And it was all DeVrom, DeVrom, DeVrom.
DeVrom, what the fuck, and
I barely post things. If this is about the amount I post.
No, it's not about the amount you post. It's about that they were like, hey, come back. What happened? You know that you want this drug. Come back to this.
I'm ready
you
to go. This. I'm ready to leave.
You're not going to leave.
So I, leave. Well, no, I deleted Facebook off my phone.
I did that too.
And that actually.
Still checking on Safari.
Yes, and that's what I do.
I do that all the time.
Oh, I don't.
I don't use it on my phone. I have the app on my phone, but I do not use it on my phone. Unless I need to, like,
get in touch with somebody. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but it has been the if anyone is experiences anxiety like I do, it is like the most, like the number one, like biggest anxiety reliever, because the only thing I see on Facebook are people with cancer. Everybody is dying on Facebook. Literally everyone.
You say anxiety reliever?
Reliever, I believe.
Because I'm not on it.
Getting rid of it.
You're like, oh, thank God I don't have that. All right.
I've had this conversation. I don't know if I've said this on this podcast before. We're coming up on our 30th anniversary. I might have had this diatribe on it, but Facebook is not natural. We are meant to have these small groups of community where we experience loss and experience like these connections in a smaller way, right? So if, you know, my friend DeVrom is having some hardship in his life, I can put all of my energy to support him. But the problem is I have not only DeVrom on my Facebook and all my community, I have DeVrom's best friend and DeVrom's best friend's cousin, and DeVrom's best friend's cousin's husband. And so all of a sudden, literally every fucking thing I see is a GoFundMe for someone whose child is dying of some crazy fucking random thing.
But you have to understand that in 2018, GoFundMe is healthcare.
Thank you. But honestly, it's like anxiety-ridden. Like, I can't deal with it. I cannot deal with it. I want to be able to support my friends, but then I become numb because I'm not just supporting my friend, I'm supporting my friend's friend, because they're all sharing a thing that they've seen. So on Facebook, it's literally just nonstop tragedy. And so anyway, I deleted it from my phone, and it was it was instantly, my life was just this levity in my life happened. And then I go probably once a week. I've been going more because I'm planning my friend's baby shower and her mom doesn't understand when I tell her I'm not on Facebook and she keeps messaging me. And I'm like...
It's always the best people that contact you via Facebook Messenger, right?
I love her, but I'm like, just text me. Text me 50 times a day. I don't care. I don't want to be on Facebook anymore because I go on there and I see all the centerpieces and that's great, but then I also see someone else who's dying of some weird random
centerpieces
thing.
What? Wait, what?
For a baby shower.
Oh,
you'll
okay.
get to it one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, guys, it's real hard, but I'm ready to delete it. I'm totally ready. I'm totally done.
Do it right now.
All right, we're all going to go to the bar right now.
It's not on my phone.
Our time is up, but we're all going to go to the bar right now and have a third or fourth beer and delete Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our panelists, Mike Leach, Jason Selvig, and DeVrom Stiefler. Thank you guys so much for coming out on this rainy Monday. And we'll see you next year. Our next show will be January 28th right here at the UCB
Theater.
That'll
be our third year anniversary.
That'll be our third, not our marriage, but our third anniversary of
doing this
show.
No, we've been married for a fucking millennia at this
7 years.
But
7 years.
Have a great night, everybody, and don't forget to vote in midterm elections.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with you two.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.